Radio Prague News.
Following warnings by the European Union on the possibility of a bird flu pandemic, common flu vaccines in the Czech Republic have sold out. The Prime Minister has described as excellent David Rath's chances of becoming the country's next health minister, and national football side coach Karel Brückner has welcomed a decision by star footballer Pavel Nedved to return for two playoff matches ahead of the World Cup. Following warnings by the European Union on the possibility of a bird flu pandemic, common flu vaccines in the Czech Republic have sold out. Pharmacies throughout the country sold out their vaccines in a single day, with pharmaceutical companies promising new batches in the coming week. However, officials have warned vaccines are only effective against the common flu, not the deadly bird virus. The government, meanwhile, has ordered an additional 600,000 doses of Tamiflu vaccine, said to be effective against bird flu, at a cost of 600 million crowns. The purchase is part of the country's emergency plan following the European Union's confirmation that the deadly strain of bird flu, known as H5N1, had been identified in cases in both Turkey and Romania. Following backing received in a confidence vote by the Czech Doctors Association on Friday, there is a good chance the association's president, David Rath, will be named the country's next health minister. Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek said as much on Saturday, describing Mr. Rath's chances as excellent. The outgoing minister, Milada Emerová, was sacked earlier in the week over continuing problems in health sector financing. Mr. Rath, her possible successor, is 39 and is politically unaffiliated with any party. He has said if he takes up the post, he will respect Social Democrat policies. A 20-year-old driver has been taken into custody for a hit-and-run that killed two teenage girls in the early hours of Saturday morning as they waited outside a discotheque in the northeast Moravian city of Ostrava. Three others were injured. One remains in critical condition. The driver drove away from the scene but was arrested on Saturday at his home. Police are investigating reasons behind the accident, including whether the man had been driving drunk. And finally, national football side manager Vlastimil Koskial and team coach Karel Brückner have welcomed a decision by former team captain Pavel Nedved to return for two matches against Norway in the final playoff preceding the World Cup. Nedved, who retired last year but plays for Italy's Juventus Turin, announced the desire to help his country through the final qualification games. The star midfielder has made no decision on whether to return for the actual World Cup next year, should the Czech Republic win. I'm Jan Wellinger. That's the end of the news.
You're tuned to Radio Prague with me, David Vaughan, and I'll be taking you through the program. Coming up in the next 20 minutes, hopes and fears. We talk to a doctor from the Iraqi city of Basra, who's in Prague on a Czech finance training scheme. And also on an international note, we tell you about a cookbook bringing a flavour of the world to the heart of Europe. And we stay in the kitchen in our weekly feature devoted to the Czech language, ABC of Czech. That's in just a few minutes, but first, Daniela Lazarova with some of the stories that won't have made it to our news bulletins in magazine.
There's an old joke based on national stereotypes in which different nationalities have different jobs in heaven. The English are policemen, the French are cooks, the Italians are lovers, and the Swiss are managers. The results of a fresh study conducted by an international team of psychologists on 4,000 people of 49 nationalities suggests that these stereotypes are far from correct. Participants were questioned about how neurotic, extroverted, open, agreeable, and conscientious typical members of their own culture are. This data was then compared with participants' assessments of their own personalities and those of other specific people they had observed. The researchers found that there was no correlation between perceived cultural characteristics and the actual traits rated for real people. For instance, according to widely accepted cultural stereotypes, the Americans are pushy and the English are reserved. Not so, researchers claim. According to their findings, the English are highly extrovert and given to experimenting, while the Americans are no more pushy than the Canadians, the English or the Germans. Czechs allegedly consider themselves a nation of grumblers who are conflict-prone and generally unpleasant. But the results of this latest study, published in Science magazine, suggest that in reality, Czechs are among the most friendly people in the world. They scored unexpectedly high marks in modesty and altruism. Few myths about what people are like actually held up to the data, revealing that in many cases cultures had overly harsh views of themselves. Stereotypes about national character appear to be largely cultural constructions transmitted through the media, education, history, hearsay and jokes. The head of the research team, Antonia Terracino, said he now hopes that the results of this study will make people address their own misconceptions and think more kindly of themselves and others. Are you finding it hard to sleep at nights? If so, it could be your bed simply isn't up to scratch and you should think about getting a replacement. Ideally, the Rolls-Royce among beds, favoured by Madonna and most Scandinavian royals, among many others. The Million Crown Bed, as it has been dubbed by the Czech media, is now on display at an expo in Prague, and you have an ideal opportunity to try it out for size. Made by a Swedish firm, it has a 25-year warranty and is guaranteed to give you the best night's sleep you ever had. Made of pine and pear wood, special springs that won't squeak no matter what you do on it, and boasting 100% natural fibres and optimal support, non-allergenic and attractive to boot, the bed will cost you 1,050,000 Czech crowns. But according to its maker, a Swedish firm with a 150-year-old tradition, it will become your favourite place on earth. And it comes with your name on it, on a special plaque attached to the bed. So, if you have an extra million crowns, think about it. 60 Czechs have already succumbed to the temptation. Like experimenting in the kitchen and trying out foreign dishes, the names of which alone present a major challenge? In that case, I have a tip for you. The Czech Diplomatic Ladies Association, meaning the wives of ambassadors posted to the Czech Republic, have put their heads together and come up with a special charity project, an international cookbook which they all help to put together, choosing not only the best that their country has to offer, but delicacies that they often serve their own high-ranking guests. The cookbook, called Tastes from Around the World, is easy to use with recipes in Czech and English and advice on where to get hard-to-find ingredients. The recipes come from all over the world and the colour photographs will give you a fair idea of what the end result should look like. I met recently with a Canadian ambassador's wife, Mrs. Pearl Utsi, to find out more about this unique project.
Every country represented in the Czech Republic was invited to submit. We encourage people to pick very typical traditional recipes from their country. And we also encourage them to give us a little anecdote, a little two or three liner about what makes this recipe special.
Can you mention some from some countries, what we have? We can leaf through and see.
Two special features from Canada. The dessert, frozen maple walnut souffle, and the special ingredient is the maple syrup. And this is a recipe that I use only for special occasions. In fact, I used it at a diplomatic dinner here at the residence just this past Tuesday. The other recipe was a main course, and it has the French flavor, as Canada has the French and the English components to its population. And typical French dish at New Year's is the tortiere. Egypt did a vegetarian dish called kushari, and it has lentils and garbanzo or chickpeas and rice. The Americans, Mrs. Cavanis from the American Embassy, submitted Southern slaw. The Cabanisses are from Alabama. And so Southern slaw comes from many generations and is apparently a dish that she uses for family gatherings in the summer.
Do you even have Vietnamese, was it spring rolls?
That... Yes, Vietnamese spring rolls. Lots of delicious Asian recipes. I was just reminded of a drink that the Peruvian ambassador submitted, and that is a drink that I had never experienced or enjoyed before I came here, Pisco Sour. And now I have the authentic recipe, which is one of the benefits of having this cookbook, because many of the dishes that ambassadors serve at their residences, you wouldn't necessarily find in a cookbook back in your home country. Whereas here you have the best two recipes probably from most of the diplomatic representation here.
Was it difficult to put the cookbook, to put all the recipes together when many came in different languages?
Yes, that was perhaps the biggest challenge. Correcting the English so that it matched the cooking process. We could rewrite it, but we wanted to keep the flavor of the author's presentation. So this was the challenge. Some of the funny things that would happen is, for example, one chocolate mousse came through almost to the end as chocolate mouse, having dropped an S in the translation. And another recipe was for codfish, which had become godfish, and it was just, again, at the last minute that we caught that. So, yes, there were lots of challenges, but the humor, if one kept one's sense of humor, it carried us through those little episodes.
This is Pearl Yutzi there, and the cookbook called Taste from Around the World is available to anyone interested, both here in the Czech Republic and abroad, for the price of 300 Czech crowns. That's approximately $12, with the proceeds going to charities, as I said. For a copy, please contact Mrs. Yutzi herself at pearl.yutzi@rogers.com. Ice skating fans are in for a big treat. The famous American ice show, Champions on Ice, is currently performing here in the Czech Republic. Between October the 12th and 16th, people can see it in five big cities, Prague, Brno, Zlín, Ostrava and Pardubice. Among these star skaters are Surya Bonaly and Irina Slutskaya, Evgeny Plushenko, Johnny Weir, Josef Sabovčík and Frederic Dambier.
To admit that I don't even know how to stand up on skates. That was Magazine with Daniela Lazarova. This is Radio Prague. Now, don't be put off by the háčky, čárky and other mysterious squiggles. Czech really is a beautiful language. And here's our language expert, Pavla Horáková, with some more Czech insights.
Hello and welcome to the ABC of Czech, in which this season we discuss words and expressions related to Czech food and cuisine. Today I'm joined by
Zuzana Durčáková,
and we'll be looking at foreign influences and foreign cuisines in the Czech Republic. Before the fall of communism, there were only a handful of restaurants serving foreign food. For example, there was a Yugoslav restaurant, a Russian one, and a Chinese one in Prague. You couldn't even cook foreign food at home because the ingredients weren't available. In the mid-1980s, a Cuban and a Vietnamese restaurant appeared. But it wasn't until 10 years later that the Czech Republic experienced a boom in international restaurants, although the choice still can't be compared to countries which have a longer tradition of multiculturalism. The first to appear were Italian restaurants serving real Italian cuisine.
Italská kuchyně.
Mainly pizza,
pizza
and pasta.
Kestoviny.
Czechs have adopted the Italian word pizzeria but modified the pronunciation
pizzerie
to suit their tongues. Next came Chinese restaurants serving Chinese cuisine.
Čínská kuchyně,
which everyone refers to as
China,
literally China but meaning Chinese. There are also a handful of Indian restaurants with several varieties of
indická kuchyně.
You can also find Thai restaurants with traditional
thajská kuchyně
and many Greek taverns serving
řecká kuchyně
or Greek cuisine. For example, the Greek pita sandwich, gyros, has become a very popular fast food meal. But let's not forget neighbouring Slovakia and the Slovak influences on Czech cuisine. Although Czechs and Slovaks lived in the same state for decades, their cuisines are quite different. While Czech cuisine has many German influences, Slovak cooking bears resemblance to Hungarian cuisine. The best-known Slovak meal commonly cooked in Czech families is
halušky,
the potato dough dumplings with bacon, goat's cheese or sauerkraut. And as we were talking about fast food, we mustn't forget the Hungarian
langos,
a deep-fried pancake from Hungary that is served with sweet or savoury toppings, garlic being the most popular.
Langos
became a very popular type of fast food in this country a couple of decades ago, having arrived via Slovakia. And that's all we can fit in today. Till next time.
Dobrou chuť.
Bon appétit.
That was ABC of Czech, and Pavla will be back at the same time next week. Now, Czech isn't the only language you hear in Prague these days, as people flock to the city from all over the world. Today's guest in One-on-One has come to the Czech Republic from Iraq and talks to Rob Cameron about his experiences both here and back home.
My guest in this week's One-on-One is Dr. Ahmed Hamza, a 37-year-old paediatrician from the Iraqi city of Basra. He recently left his troubled homeland and his wife and two children for 3 months' training at Prague's Motol Hospital in a programme financed by the Czech government. Dr. Ahmed is learning about the use of ultrasound technology in diagnosing heart defects in children, his chosen speciality. I went to Motol to meet him.
I'm Dr. Ahmed Kasim Hamza. I'm from Iraq, from Basra city. I lived there the whole of my life, there in Basra.
When you look back at life in Iraq under Saddam Hussein, what are your strongest memories or strongest feelings about that time?
Yeah, the period of Saddam Hussein is the worst period in our lives, in the life of any Iraqi. I'm not political, but Saddam Hussein harmed all the Iraqi peoples, and no one excluded from this. So anybody has memories. For example, my brother, he was prisoner of war in Iran, and many of my cousins, they killed in the war, of the first war with Iran and the Gulf War, or the second, the later war. All of these memories is bad memories about Saddam.
What was it like for a doctor, a pediatrician like yourself, working in Basra under Saddam?
Working as a doctor in the period of Saddam Hussein is, I think it is hopeless. We work there just to save the lives of the people and not more. We gain nothing as a doctor from Saddam Hussein. For example, I give you an example. The salary of each doctor in that period is about $2 to $3 per month. And this is very little amount, you know. Nowadays, the salary become better. This is one thing. Another thing is the drugs, the availability of drugs. Because, you know, because of economic sanction in that period, very little amount of drugs come to our hospitals. Not the amount, the quality of drugs that come from certain area in the world, which is very cheap and not active drugs. No other facilities. All of our instruments They are old instruments. For example, the X-ray in my hospital, the X-ray machine, I think it is from 1960. And we use it now. Till that time, it's very old.
But surely conditions for doctors and nurses in Iraq have got worse now with the occupation, the insurgency, the number of people injured. Surely your work is much more difficult and you work in much more difficult conditions now.
Yeah, it is more difficult, of course. It is a very, very difficult job in Basra because many we face many problems. There are social problems, economic problems, and there is no peace to go from our homes to the hospitals. In Basra, it is less common for plumes to occur there, but it can be occurred.
So if you compare the two, life as a doctor before under Saddam and life as a doctor now, which would you choose?
I choose now, of course. it is worse, but I choose now because Saddam is gone.
So for you, the most important thing is Saddam has gone?
Yes, of course. Of course. This is the most important thing in our life.
Is it difficult being here in Prague? Do you miss Iraq?
Yeah, I miss it strongly, especially Basra and my family. The living condition here is nice people, very kind, but something is strange for us. We accommodate gradually here, and that's all.
So how do you keep in touch with your family?
I call them by mobile, and also they call me by mobile. And this is this way present for us to call our family. I say to you, there is no internet connection here and no TV to see the world in Iraq.
So it's difficult for you to keep up with what's happening in Iraq?
Yeah, our families call us daily, and they inform us about what happened in Iraq.
And I suppose the news that you are getting from Iraq must make you quite nervous and quite anxious about the safety of your own family and friends in Basra, as things appear anyway to be getting worse in your country.
Yeah, of course. Of course, that. But nowadays, since about 10 days, the conditions in Iraq may be settled and no problems. Yeah.
What do you hope to learn from your training here in Prague's Motol Hospital? Tell me a bit more about this training course that you are involved in here.
Really, I hope to learn many things about echocardiography.
Can you explain that for our listeners, what exactly echocardiology is?
Yeah, echocardiography is to examine the heart by ultrasound instrument to see the chambers of the heart and the valves and the defect, the congenital defect, the holes in the heart. All of these we can see in echocardiography. No pediatrician in Iraq, in Basra city, learn about these things, and I hope that we can know these things and assist the children with congenital heart disease to diagnose their problems.
So your training will help you diagnose Iraqi children who have heart defects?
Yes, of course, that's what I mean.
Many people in Iraq had very high expectations when Saddam was removed. Many people were very hopeful for the future. The last few years, though, have been anything but hopeful, and the situation now does look rather bleak. Are you hopeful for the future of your country? Do you think things will get better?
I think that, but in several years, not now. It takes many years to become better. The political idea, the election rules, the what we call the parliament, all of these can save the situation there, save the economic situations and political situations, and no one become like Saddam, and we don't want another Saddam.
And the Americans, when should they leave?
I think they should leave as soon as possible. When the conditions settled in Iraq, they must leave. They must not to go one day after that.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for you.
Rob's guest in One-on-One was Ahmed Hamza, a doctor saving lives in the Iraqi city of Basra. Our time has run out, so take care and don't forget that on some of today's frequencies you can also hear our weekly magazine produced here in Prague, looking at what's going on across the region. That's Insight Central Europe. And this week, among other things, we ask where Poland could be heading as it gets ready for the second round of presidential elections. Insight has its own website, www.incentraleurope.com. And of course, you can also write to us at Radio Prague, 12099 Prague, the Czech Republic, or send us an email to english@radio.cz. For now, from me, David Vaughan, and everyone here at Radio Prague, goodbye.
Six heures vingt-sept, Europe, 5930, 7345. 7h30, 7h57, Europe, 9880, 11600. 16h30, 16h57, Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 17485. 18h30, 18h57, Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 13580. 22h, 22h27, Amérique du Nord, 9415, 7345. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.